Hi, everyone. How you doing today? Today's scripture comes from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd, putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, like these. Which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Why do we give? We give because it reminds us that all we have belongs to God in the first place. We give because it moves the mission of God forward and upward in this world. We give because an investment in the kingdom of God will never return void. We give because it breaks the temptation toward greed and materialism. We give because radical generosity leads to radical change in our lives, our churches, our communities, and in our world. We give because giving is a gift, not just for those who receive something, but giving is a gift for those who give. For Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what would it look like for you this year to be generous? To not just ask, what can I spare, but instead to ask, what will it take? When God's blessing comes to us, it must also go through us. Because generosity isn't just something God wants from us. Generosity is something God wants for us. That is the gift of giving.
My favorite line in that video, I think, is giving. God doesn't want generosity just so that we give, but what it does for us, or words to that effect. You will notice that we are doing something a little different. Gina and I are doing this together. We started talking about this message and the stories, and so we're gonna preach together from the table. And as we do that, I wonder if you would bow your heads and let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, it is good to be here. It's good to be here however we are, whether we're in this sanctuary or in a hotel room or at home or a hospital. We have gathered together to worship you. I pray now that the words that Gina and I have prepared during the week might be your words, because your spirit is near. And with your words and your spirit, we can learn and grow and become more of what you long for us to be. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, Barbara, it's great to be up here with you. We thought, we've been in a story series, so it might be nice for us to join our stories and share with you today. We've been doing a deep dive, trying to look at how our story connects with God's story and how that can make a beautiful story, and it certainly does. We've been moving through a lot of topics. Today, we want to place before you another word. Today is reimagine. Now, one thing that I've learned as I've moved through Floris over, it's more than 100 days now, I think, that I've been in conversation with you at Floris and Restoration as a whole community, is that my imagination is rich as I've looked back over the history of Floris and the work that the church has done to join with God's ongoing work. And I know that that work, Barbara, and she's been so much a part of it, has taken reimagining the power of a joined story, of the people of God joining to change individual lives, and I've heard testimony of that, to change the lives of families, and even to change the lives of whole communities and places. As Floris has offered hearts of generosity, the story just expands. Mm-hmm. So from the center of many lives, as I've circled up with you in listening sessions and in conversation, as I've heard the power of a story of a people of God moving to make families be a part of God's greater story, and then the emergence of just powerful ministries, the emergence of a whole hospital being built, a Mercy Hospital in Sierra Leone by a people of God that reimagines something different for people that were suffering in one place of the world. And that's just one example of the power of the stories coming together and joining God's stories. And Barbara, that's really hard to quantify.
It is. It's terribly hard to quantify. And I, one of the things that I have loved about you coming here is the opportunity we all of us have to tell Gina the story. And she's just a representative of all the new people that show up, and we get to say, this is who we are, it's Floris and Restoration, and the stories are so powerful. That Access Ministries story that just played is a powerful story of something that this church decided was important.
Yeah.
And it's just expanded, and we are so blessed by that ministry. So that's an exciting story. You're going to see another story in just a minute about how stories and generosity can change us. One of the things that I have loved about being here for so long, and it's been a long time, is that I get to see how people's lives change. Not just how what we give changes people's lives, but how the act of giving changes us.
Yeah. And it does.
And it does. And we've talked about that as we've been going over this and shared our own stories around that. But it is not just in how much you give or what you give or where you give. It is that in giving, Jesus works in us. And it changes our hearts and it changes our faith and it helps us grow. And so Chris Ferd and Josephine Dakin Davis are members of this congregation. And they have a story. They agreed to give a testimony on video. I asked them, I was like, would you do this? And they said they would, we're so grateful. Because sometimes sharing your testimony can be intimidating, as
it's true,
we know.
Yeah.
But they agreed to do this. And what I want you to listen for is how their family, through living out their faith, has grown and deepened in generosity, in love of God, and in love of serving others. So take a look at this story.
Hi, everyone. This is Christopher. This is my beautiful wife, Josephine, the Dakin Davises. This is our story of our Floris journey.
One of the reasons why, the major reasons why I love Floris is because attending Floris Church has really impacted my whole concept about Christianity and my faith as a whole, and that of my family.
Two main reasons why our family loves Floris. First one is philanthropic reasons. The church has always been giving back over the years. We just don't take care of our local community. We're impacting lives nationally and even internationally, countries like Cuba and Sierra Leone. For full disclosure, that's where we were both born and raised. Another reason why I love Floris is the children's ministry. Over the years, my daughter, when I first joined Floris, she was 8. She's a working woman now, 24. Just watching her grow through the Christian ministries, doing vacation Bible school. Back in the days was huge. Josephine has volunteered several years. We've actually brought family members in to attend vacation Bible school.
How Floris or how faith has impacted my family. Faith by itself is an action word, right? Faith for me is belief, believe in God, trust in God. Florist, in a way, has helped us grow our faith. They're able to go out there and decipher good from bad, evil from good doing, and basically practice faith by showing love in the community.
Generosity is important because it gives us, me in particular, a sense of satisfaction. I'm a firm believer in the concept of paying it forward. I think God has blessed us over the years where we've been put in some good financial blessing status. So we, again, financially give back. We try to help out whenever possible, do our tithe. We do the donations as we should. In our community, in the Sierra Leone community that we grew up in, there are lots of associations that raise funds for the less fortunate folks back home. The schools, our secondary schools, alumni associations, they're private organizations, so we're always giving back. And for me personally, I also give back using my time. Over the years of Florist, I've been a greeter, been an usher, sang in the choir for Cantata and Easter. Also, I'm now currently one of the trustee members of the church.
And we have that strong, again, back to what you asked me about faith. We have that strong faith and conviction that when you give, God will replenish your coffers.
What a powerful story.
That's a great story.
What I love about the Dakin Davis story is how they say it shaped their whole family. Mm-hmm. Their interaction with this church and the values that have been steeped in this church as they've raised children here, now their children are living those values in the world.
Yeah. It's powerful. It is. Stories are just so powerful, aren't they?
Yeah. And so we have a powerful story before us today in the gospel story that Anna read so well for us this morning, the story of the widow who brings the two coins, as Anna shared. It's a story, admittedly, that pastors pull out when we're talking about generosity. But it's a story, as Barbara and I have shared together, it's a story that is complex. So it requires a deeper look. Sometimes we just glance through it and we don't look at everything going on,
right,
Barbara.
Right. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot in the story.
Yeah.
And it is a story. I grew up in the church. I went to the church from the time I was tiny. We've talked about this. So I was kind of steeped in biblical stories. And this is one that I heard many times. But I want to tell you, when I heard this story, I want to kind of show you how I looked at it. I would hear the story about this widow, this poor widow, and in my mind, she was tattered, and she was like bent over and exhausted, and was just trying to make her way to the box to drop these little coins in. And I just pictured her walking through this space, but all around her were men, Pharisees, and they were big, and they were shouting at one another, and they were very larger than life, they were very fancy, and in my mind, there was always one Pharisee who like stood right next to the box, and he was shouting at God, saying, "Oh God, I am so amazing," and giving so much, and this widow, in my child's head, had to make her way around it. And so I just pictured her creeping up there and almost furtively dropping those two small coins into the box. And I asked myself as a child, how could she do that? How was she so brave and so courageous that even though she had nothing, she could walk around these, what I pictured in my mind, as giant people of authority who could crush her if they chose to. And yet she did it, and I always wondered why she did that. So I grew up a little bit. I realized I was probably conflating Bible stories as children. But that's okay, because I was trying to figure out what the story meant. And as a child, you often live in a world where other people seem to have more power than you do. And actually, a lot of people in our world today, not just children, live in that world where it feels like other people have power, and sometimes giving and money and generosity is a part of that story. So where did she find her courage? Mm-hmm. And so I started thinking about it and studying it, because we do use it quite frequently. And here's what I've come to think. In the giving of her two small coins, she's not just giving sacrificially, although she is. But it's not just sacrificially. She's giving out of her abundance as well. In the scripture, it says the Pharisees give it out of their abundance of wealth and the widow out of her scarcity, but she has an abundance too. And it's the abundance that makes all the difference. She has an abundance of trust in God. She is not there to show off. She is not there to make a point. She is there because she loves God, and she is giving out of this sacrificial abundance of God that she has. She gives not out of an income that is significant, but out of a trust that is significant. So I've rewritten the story in my head. She's not creeping in. She's kind of putting up with the very loud people around her, and she just walks in because she loves God, and she puts her coins in, and she says, I can make a difference. I can make a difference even though I am only this. I am only this. I am only small. I only have two coins. I can make a difference, and it's a sacrificial, abundant gift, and I think that's a lesson that we can take from that, and again, we don't know what happened to her, but we read the story and we can think and meditate around what can happen. So anyway, I think it's her abundance of trust in God.
Oh, I agree. I agree absolutely. And I was probably with you as a child, but you know, particularly as Barbara describes, I see this widow walking in pretty tall, and it kind of almost like she floats in on a cloud of God's grace.
Yeah, I like that.
With God's strength. One thing that biblical scholars have looked at, and we took a little bit deeper dive with this, a scholar at Emory University, Luke Timothy Johnson, he points out that in the Jewish law that was behind this idea of treasury at the time, that it was not a required practice of the day for widows to give it all. Okay, not a required practice. Johnson writes, before the destruction of the temple, the treasury was a method used to fulfill demands of the Torah for the perennially dispossessed, namely widows. So this offering that's being taken up, Barbara, is for people just like her. She comes with all that she has, and what's so wonderful about the story is as Jesus is moving through, Jesus pulls up a seat, and he just watches what's going down. He gives commentary, and he calls the disciples aside to take a look at what's going on. He calls us in, too, and he says, you know, look what's happening here. This woman, she goes outside of religious imposed law. She's not even supposed to give. The offering is for people like her. And she walks in with this deep heart. Mm-hmm. The law, not of the written law, not of the law that these men, Jesus says, did you hear Anna say? Jesus points out and said, these men, they devour widows' houses. Take a look at these guys. Look at how they got their long robes and they're making a big deal about what they're given. They devour widows' houses. But he says, as he pulls us in and as he pulls the disciples in, he says, she is given everything. Take a look at her. She's given everything. This law of grace written not in the law that the men in the story are responding to, but of the grace that's written on her heart. Now, this example, press pause here. This example of the widow giving everything, unfortunately, has been misused in religious history for a long time, and probably still is in present day, of the church and the pastor who gets on the high pulpit and says, you must give all that you have, even if you're poor and you're a widow. Hear us today say God doesn't desire the poor or anyone to enter into a risky relationship with their money,
right,
and their faith. God doesn't want anyone to enter into a risky relationship. That is not what Jesus is pulling us aside to look at in the story. Jesus is pulling us aside to really see this, to see that there's a group of people that are devouring the house of widows and are living in a very unrighteous way, even as they proclaim righteousness. And this widow who understands what it's like to be on the margin, who understands what it's like to not know where her next meal is coming from probably, in this grace, in this generous heart that's been developed out of the trust you mentioned, Barbara, she's trusting God with everything. She's coming forward and giving in that way that others might have, because she knows what it's like. She knows what it's like to be poor. She knows what it's like to be hungry. Now, the others in the scenario, they're giving out of their abundance. As you said, Barbara, they're giving from the extra that they have. And unfortunately, that's what we do a lot of times too.
It is.
As we're calculating and we're thinking about how much we can give, we set aside all the things and we don't think about what God calls us to do. What is the call on our lives? What is the need right in front of us? And that's what Jesus is pulling aside. And he's asking the disciples to see her. This woman who doesn't have a name. We don't know her name. And as Barbara said, we don't even know what happens to her after this.
I wish we did.
You know, it'd be great to know the rest of the story. But Jesus calls us to see her. You know, when my kids were growing up, and I would often say when they want to see a certain movie or something, I'm like, you can't unsee some things. So think about that. Once you see something, you can't unsee it. It's good parent advice. But also when you see something amazing and beautiful, you can't unsee that either.
Yeah.
You can't unsee the possibility that her heart brings forward with these two coins. Jesus wants us to pause and see that. And there's so much, Barbara, of the story of Flora's restoration that we can see where God has been a co-author with the people here at Flora's.
Yes, it's so true.
And where God continues to call us each and every week to that kind of radical faithfulness.
I think it's so important to talk about the calling that we have to be generous. And that's, of course, that's the series that we're in. We're talking about this. What does it mean to be generous, and how can we be generous? And part of the question that we often get is, so we give to the church, where does it go? And we've worked really hard at the Generosity Times to kind of show you and tell you, but what we understand is story is important. And it goes to many places, but one of the things we thought that we would do is we've put together a little video slide, I guess you would call it, that talks about what you have done over the last week. And we could have made it bigger, but frankly, we ran out of time.
This is just a little bit. This is just a little bit of what they've done.
Time. Yeah. So go ahead and take a look at this. You're going to freeze on that slide. Just when you are generous, and listen, if you are generous, it's not how much, it's about your heart. It is not how much you give or how little you give, it's how you answer the call of God to give and make a difference. You bought school supplies for a child this week who was a new immigrant to the country and needed school supplies, and you did that. You helped a family in our congregation pay their rent because of a loss of a job and circumstances. Things happened to all of us. You were able to do that. We welcomed some new members. We had coffee with a pastor this week, and we got to meet with people who are interested in learning about this church. We baptized a baby last week, last service. This service, we get to baptize children to teach them about following Jesus. We helped a single mom escape abuse. Of course, we can't tell you the details of that story, but I want you to know that this is part of what you do every week. It is, we get to see it all. We get to interact with it. Because of your generosity, you help people in ways they would not be helped. You get to do that, and it is a very powerful and compelling story. You feed the hungry on a regular basis. People that are unstable with their food, children that over the weekend might not have it, you get to help counselors put food in their kids' backpacks so that they have something. So the story is so important, and when we ask you to give, Gina's going to talk about our estimate of giving. When we ask you to give, it is not because we want to build a budget. It is because we want to build our hearts, and we include ourselves in that. When we give, we honor God. And so we encourage you to think about it and talk about it and listen to the stories.
Yeah, and when I think about the metaphor of story, I just think there's so many more chapters that mm-hmm. God has to write. Like it's been rich reading for me to learn the story, and I know I'm going to be continuing to learn the story of Flora's restoration for a long time. But it's been rich to be steeped in that as I've onboarded and spent so much time in the listening sessions and circles with leaders and just some of your individual stories. I can't wait to see how God is continuing to co-author with us moving forward, what God has to say in the next chapters of this church. And so your estimate of giving, I think they're going to pull up on the screen, a sample. This you can pull it up by the QR code that's before you, or you can go to our give page. Our leaders in this past week have been asked to step up and go ahead and put in their estimate of giving. An estimate of giving is just that. It's an estimate about, it gives you, I mentioned last week, a tool to discern what you can offer to the ministries of the church in the coming year, in year 2024. So this process, if you're new to us, this process is helping us prepare for the year coming in January and the ministry plans ahead. It helps you as a spiritual tool. I put mine in this week. And it also helps us as leaders of the church discern forward and with our plans. What can we do in terms of weekly ministry and mission through Flora's and Restoration in the coming weeks and months. So you're going to get an email, I think, from me following the service today. You'll have a link to this, and it'll give you an opportunity. We're asking people to return their estimate of giving by next week. Pastor Lauren is going to preach, and we got a new word for next week, and that is restore. So our word in the story for next week is restore. She's going to wrap up the series with us. We're going to ask for you to return your estimate of giving. If you think, oh, I don't like online and QR codes, there'll be paper copies, and they're actually paper copies this morning that you can pick up out at the welcome desk. Mm-hmm. They have them available there. If you're thinking, man, I really need to work on this in my life and I'd like some guidance with that, we're glad to offer counsel, and there are actually some people out here outside the doors this morning at a table that have signups for January's coursework in Saving Grace, which is a great mm-hmm. course that's been offered here at Flora's over time that helps lead you to think about God's grace in your life and how you can save and give in appropriate fashion.
I think it's so important. You know, people come to us and they say, oh my gosh, you're doing that stewardship thing. All churches want is our money. And here's what I think, I can speak for both of us. What we want for ourselves and for you is the discipline of generosity to change your heart in such a way that Jesus is even more real to you. Because when we do this together, that widow gave two little coins for people like herself. And when you combine that, you literally can change the world. And so I hope you all push yourselves. I hope one of the things my husband and I did over years was like, you know what, we're going to take that next step. And it was a little bit scary, but we did it. And we always have the ability to try something new. And it is important that we allow God to work on us that way. I hope that makes sense. I just think it's so important to trust God enough that you will take some risks.
Yeah. And those risks often equate to changed lives.
They do.
And the change of the world.
They do.
So as a people of God works together, we know we exist for the transformation mm-hmm. of the world through making disciples. That's how our world changes and becomes a better place. And you hear the success stories, the wonderful stories of grace, like it's been shared this morning, like we've been trying to share in the series.
Why don't we pray?
That sounds like an awesome idea.
Let's pray together. Oh God, it is such a privilege and a joy to be a part of this congregation. And I pray, we pray, all of us together pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would show us and call us to where you want us to be. And God, I know that for some this is really scary. For some this is nothing but exciting. For some of us you are saying, let's rethink this. Let's see how many lives we can change. And for some, it's like this reassurance of you're okay. So however we are, wherever we are, allow our hearts to be open so that we could allow you to speak to us. We give you thanks for generosity, that we get to be a part of this church, and that together we can be in your world, in your grace, and in your love, and watch the change happen. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.